Oh, change is coming whether you want it or not. It's coming. This new year is not waiting on you to say, okay, now you can come. Oh, it's coming. There's some things you can't change. You can't stop because it's just coming your way. And sometimes you just got to jump right on in it. Change is coming. Don't look at your current situation and think, I'm stuck. Devil is a liar. That's all he knows how to do. So don't tell him he's a liar. He already knows it. Just don't receive the lie. Amen. Well, the devil said this. So that means it's a lie. That's just his nature. Get your Bibles, if you would, please. We'll pray for this in a minute. Wednesday night, the Lord messed me all up. Oh, he don't mess me up. We went from, with the five blessing blockers in your life, and he says, get in your chamber. I need to talk to you. Right in the middle, praise and worship. Josh, just play until I come out. And then he spoke a word to me, and I had to put this message together. And before I do anything, I want to make sure I do justice to what the Lord has given me. So I don't know about you, but when you go to, you know, go get your food, when you order, like when y'all leave here today, you know, because y'all, a lot of y'all are hungry. I can see it in your face. You can hear your stomach growling, and it's not the Holy Ghost rumbling. It's your stomach grumbling, and it's like, ugh. Now, you go and order, like, some, you go to Rudy's. You know how you go to Rudy's, and they chop everything up in front of you, you know. They chop it, and I'll have some lean brisket, please, lean brisket, and a quarter pound lean brisket, and then I'm going to have a couple of links of sausage, and then go ahead and give me some of that turkey, and just give me a quarter pound of that turkey, and then I'm going to have some cream corn. And then with that cream corn, maybe got to get some, you know, that peach cobbler they got right there. But you order everything, but then you only get one thing. Are you going to be upset? You're going to be upset, right? Well, I don't want to bring a word to you and just say because I said it on Wednesday that it's okay and now I've got to go on with it. I want to give you the whole meal. Can I give you the whole meal? Is it okay if I give you the whole meal? Is it okay? I'm going to give you a number to take to your table so that when the order's complete, I'll bring it to your table. Some of y'all know about that, right? Well, how many of you know about Panchitos? When you're done with what you're eating, you got to raise that flag. You know that one? Y'all don't know about it? But you raise that flag, they come, what can I get for you next? You know, and they bring it to you. Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to bring this to you, and your job is to begin to start chewing on this thing and let this become a part of you, because we're going to end this today. And then we're going to go to a place in God that he has in store for us so that we can get beyond where we've been to a place that we've never been. But we first have to get through this. Amen. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Because I'm going to take you someplace we have never been. Amen. See, when I went to Africa, I'd never been there before. But I brought back something that I have never had before. An experience that has changed my life forevermore. See, some of us need to experience the gospel like never before. You may have read the book 1,500 times. You're right. You probably still haven't read it. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter how much you have read unless it becomes part of you. That you can begin to have people see you and the word that is in you. Because some of the things that people see in you is not even the gospel. Well, we ain't all been saved all our lives. You know, because when I used to put one on, I used to put it on real good. And y'all would know the next day, ooh. You went out last night, huh? Bloodshot eyes, cotton mouth. Never understood that. Never mind. Would you say? you get after effects. Y'all know that, right? You get. I'm at the House of Manna. Okay, so I can say this. Y'all know the after effects. Huh? The after effects. You're drinking all kinds of water, but you had all kinds of liquid before. You don't understand why y'all cottonmouth when you had all kinds of liquid before. But now you wake up in the morning, I just want some water. There's some after effects of even you being in the world. And if you really tied one on, if you really did, y'all know how to, y'all, you think you got this hangover bit figured out. Huh? I'm going to go eat like late night before I go, because I got to get something in my stomach, soak up the alcohol. And then before I go to bed, I pop those Tylenols before I go to bed. So I'm already ahead of waking up with the effect. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all are holy. Oh, my God. I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot y'all are Christians. Oh, Lord. Oh, I forgot about that. See? Because y'all have never done that. Okay, so let me just shift gears then. Because they don't know. What? If it just so happens to be like on a Friday night, unless, especially a Saturday night, because the Saturday night is usually the time that people go out. That's why the chairs are empty, because, you know, tied one on. So they got the barbacoa and the Big Red. Mm-hmm. To kind of, you know, that grease sucks it up, and, you know. So what I'm trying to tell you is you even have an effect of you being in the world, but how come the effect of being in the presence of God does not carry over to the next day? Y'all were like, yeah, yeah. And then I went there. You're like, oh. Well, I'd like to welcome the people on the podcast. We are here at the House of Manna, and we are talking about being hungover. And if you're wondering if this is a spiritual podcast, this is the House of Manna Church, a non-denominational church that does not judge you for who you are, what you've been in, and where you're going, because God sees you in a different state. So I welcome you to listen to this podcast, if you can, and share it with those you think need to hear a word that comes from the Lord. Speaking to a relevant church with relevant issues that brings about a relevant change. Amen. Because I know I can be listening to the podcast and people get very spiritual and very holy, and they don't let you know that they're real. But I'm here to tell you that I've been bruised to be a blessing. In my bruising comes my blessing. Get your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 42, please. Isaiah 42. I began to teach on this on Wednesday night. And I believe that God wants to bring a wholeness to his body. Do you not agree? A wholeness. God doesn't want his people to be fragmented. You know, fragmented in pieces. He wants to make us whole. Amen? If you do not have the scripture in front of you, get with someone who does. Get to moving quickly. Quickly, quickly. Never take what I say or any preacher says, even on TV, for word. Get it in the word, find it yourself, and read it. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. I'll begin reading now. It says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the street. Verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope. This is what the God, the Lord, says. The creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all the springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind and to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. And before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, to forever, forever it is true. But today it's relevant. Today it speaks to our spirit and our soul. And it begins to bring illumination to our mind and our ways. And Father, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do on behalf of your people. I thank you that it is new and it is fresh, and that you reveal it to us first. So, Father, I thank you. And all of God's people said amen. That is a very powerful, powerful scripture there. But he says in verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. On Wednesday night, the Lord began to share with me that there's some things that we have gone through that we feel like we've been bruised. How many of you have been bruised? How many of you have been wounded? How many of you have had to put that Band-Aid on you? Because there's been some scars that need special attention. And there's some scars that need to be sutured. You know what a suture is, right? It's got some, or, you know. No. What's that one with the staples? What do you call them? You want to use a staple on your skin so you can close the wound. Isn't that kind of hard? And one time I got a boo-boo. And they brought out this gun. I said, what you doing with that gun? He says, I'm gonna fix that. How are you going to fix it? Because I'm going to staple it. You're going to staple it? You're going to staple my finger? He says, that's how I'm going to stop the bleeding. So you know me, real quick, I saw that. Took that bandage. I held that thing so tight in my hand, because, see, I was doing some glass work, and I cut myself really bad. And it was to the point where it wouldn't stop bleeding. You know, I see blood, and I do that kind of, you know, courtesy drop in church. So, done. I was out, you know. And then they take me to the emergency room. And then when I saw that gun, he said, we're going to staple it. And, you know, we were about to fight. But he went through him. Real quick. Stopped the bleeding. But they had to numb that area first. See, sometimes the wounds in your life make you numb, so that you don't feel the healing process, right? I didn't like that gun, those staples. I didn't like it. Matter of fact, it wasn't quiet either. When they hit that thing, it went pop. Pop. Could you just do a real pop, 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 pop? It hurt. I cried. How you take them out? We cut them off. What? I said, wait a minute. You know I'm hurt, right? You gonna put metal on my body with a gun, and then you're going to cut them out? What happens to the part that's inside? Well, your body will get rid of it. See, some things have an effect in your life that stays in you, even in the healing process. Even in the healing process, something has to stay in you to remind you that you've been healed. See, I was like, I don't want no staples in me. Why don't you use the thread? So I saw that needle. I'm like, no, do the staples. It's not a hook like little. And you watch it. I cried. But there's something always left inside of you in the healing process. And there's always a scar that is left. But you see, after he did the staples, he put just a little Band-Aid. And before I went there, I had all kinds of stuff all over. A T-shirt wrapped in a knot and everything. Just so that it wouldn't bleed, right? But then when he's done, he put the staples. All he had to do was put a little Band-Aid on it. You know how, you know, I was watching a movie with Martin Lawrence. National Security, when he gets grazed on his butt. And it just scratched him. That was me. Thought my finger was about to fall off, but all it was just, it was deep enough, it just did the staples, it was done. So when he put that little Band-Aid, I realized something. I was making a big old fuss over something that was little. Don't preach my message. Just follow me. Y'all were like, oh, that was good. I know people that do that. No, you don't. Look at yourself first. Okay. We make a fuss over the littlest things. If it's not y'all, because this is the holy church, I made a big old fuss. I got to take, I have an injury on duty, and I got to take leave of absence because it's bad. I can't work. I mean, workman's come. I got hurt. You got to pay my bills. You got to pay the doctor bills. And you got to make sure that I get all my medication that I need because, you know what, make sure I'm making no tetanus shot and this thing. I want to make sure. You want to see it. Why you got to see it? I got the bill right here. No, let me see the wound. Okay, it's not that bad, but it hurt really bad, and it bled a lot. How many of you got a paper cut before? Look at y'all. Oh, yeah. It's not the biggest cut, but it's the worst cut. Some of the things that happen to us are not deep. They're superficial, but we get so hurt by it. I can't believe that church. God. Here it is, 11:35, and they even just starting the message. And it's like a little paper cut. It just irritates you, right? Everything that's little just irritates you. It don't go away. And then when salt comes on it, take me home, Jesus. It's just a little paper cut. And we make the biggest ruckus and fuss over the little thing. But the salt, he says that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Some things that happen that are superficial. It happened in church. Happened in church. And then we get mad because salt gets on it. Salt is truth. Ah! You hurt me. You hurt me. I don't like you. I don't want to be near you. Don't sit by me. But babe, we're married. We rode to church together. Don't even look at me. But mom, I'm hungry. We make big old issues out of nothing. And what happens is we're wounded. So hurt. I came to church, and it's a loving church, but they hurt me. This is not a church of God. It's a church of superficial Christians that all they want is just make you think that they're better than you. And so then why did it hurt so bad? Right? If you know who you're hanging with and you know their traits, you know the way they are, it shouldn't surprise you. In other words, go mess around with some snakes. And when they bite you, don't be shocked. You're not shocked that you were messing with a snake. You knew you could have get bit and you got bit. Like, I can't believe it. Why? Or like I used to do. Remember this, Chunky? Remember this, Chunky? Hey, chill out. That's my cousin. Watch it. Remember I on Rex Street. Coming out of the side of the house, there was that nest. And we would get some rubber bands. Lionel, what are you laughing for? Lionel, work with me, Lionel. And we'd get the broom, and we'd always get in trouble, Mama. I don't know why we'd get in trouble, but we'd break the broom. I don't know why. We'd break it, and then we'd get the knife, and we'd just kind of edge a little corner of it right there, just kind of back and forth, and you could put the rubber band in there, and now you had something to protect. Now, we know that bees are going to sting us, so why are we surprised when we get stung? And what do the moms say when you get stung? What do they say?
No, hombre.
Well, you can't say it in church. What? The mother of the house can't say it in church? It must have been bad. Come on now. What I'm trying to tell you, you know you're going to get stung. You're going to get bit. You know it, so it doesn't shock you. You come to church and you think they're holy. They're Christians. They're not going to hurt me. They're sinners. You're one too. You're just trying to get fixed in the process. But they got some bite in them still that may cause you to be bruised. Were you shocked? Oh my God, I can't believe you judged me. Where's Josh? Josh, can you play? But the Bible tells us what you sow is what you're going to reap. So should it shock you if you've been judged? The Bible tells you, in the manner of which you judge, you shall be judged in the same manner, within the same degree. That ain't fair. That ain't fair. If you just do right, it'll be all right. But if you want to come sideways, oh, you're going to leave sideways too. So it shouldn't shock you when someone hurts you, because you probably hurt other people too. I know some of y'all are in here like, you know, Sister Teresa, Mother Teresa, you've never done anything wrong. All you've done is helped everybody. And so only good things should come back to you. I know. I see your halos. See your halos. A bruised reed is because it has three reasons why it gets bruised. Number one, some of it is damaged naturally. Okay. Number one is naturally. Some things just happen in your life that make you become bitter. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Maybe something that you did yourself and that you see the results of it in your own life. You want an example? Okay. I'm glad we're in church. I'm by the cross. You know, when you just eat too much. Let me finish. You know, when you just eat a little bit too much, and you know you shouldn't have been eating too much, and then you get mad because you've been on this kick of just eating a little bit more than what you normally eat. And then when you walk into that dungeon called the closet where the demons are in there, and you get so mad because nothing fits you no more, those demons begin to speak, and you start binding the demon of lack. It ain't lack. It wasn't lack when you were ordering all the tacos in the morning. It wasn't lack when you were going to eat after church all the time. It wasn't lack then. It was an abundance, a pleasure. Because pleasure feels good for a moment. You know how it is, because when you go to Mama Margie's and they ask you what you want, 15 bean and cheese, please. We can afford that right now. So we get home, and they ask if you want hot sauce. But you don't settle for their hot sauce. You want the hotter hot sauce. So you know in the morning, it's going to remind you that you ate the hot sauce. Don't get mad at Mama Margie's. You knew better. Some things that we do happen naturally. That we cause in our own life. Don't blame it on Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so. Blame it on Pastor. Y'all do. Y'all blame it on me. I feel it. Been praying for y'all. Some things just happen naturally, right? We cause some things to happen in our life, and we want to start blaming the devil. And the devil's nowhere. The devil's looking at you like, hey, wasn't me. You look in that mirror. That one was you, because I couldn't even done that one. Okay. Hallelujah. Some of the reeds, which is you, the reeds, are damaged by wrongful use. Wrongful use. Now, the first one is some of the things we do ourselves and we get damaged by it. Okay? Don't be blaming the diabetes on generational curses when all you're doing is drinking nothing but Kool-Aid and sweet tea, having nothing but sweets in your life. Let me get within the people right now, because you know the Kool-Aid? It's good until you start putting like 10 pounds of sugar in it. You know, and we like it so sweet that we're like, ooh, that's it. Ooh, this is good. They're good Kool-Aid. They're good Kool-Aid. You're so high on sugar, and then you get mad because the next thing you know, you got diagnosed with diabetes. No. Don't start blaming no devil. No. I want to look at some of the things that you've been doing. Did it cause some things in your life? Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, get off of that. No, I'm talking about me. About high blood pressure? You know about high blood pressure? That usually comes from the rice, the beans, tortillas, the white breads. You know, all the good stuff that tastes good. You know all that stuff? Okay, and then you're going to have to be on medication. The rest of you are like, oh, that hell no. Hell was speaking at that moment. I had to say it no. So the only way you're going to change this is if you exercise. Oh, I'll do that. You know how we do? We want to look real good. We go and buy all new clothes and everything because we want to look good. Because so we can look good while we're working out. He said, no. He says, when you do this, you're going to have to work out real good and cut down on the eating. The devil is a liar. See, some things happen because of wrong uses. We do things sometimes. But there's other things that do take place in your life that are not because of your choices. You may walk into a place and people recognize you as an anointed woman, man of God. I'm talking church setting. Okay? We can talk church setting here now. Just making sure, man. I don't know. And then they realize, are you anointed? Are you appointed? I need you to preach all the time. Because there's something on you. See, what happens is when people begin to see your strengths as opposed to their weakness, they begin to use you more because they don't want people to see their weakness. You understand? So they'll get somebody who's strong. They say, oh, that's a good church. That's, you know what? They're always preaching on this. It's a good church. They're always prophesying. They're always laying hands on people. People get sick. They're getting healed. And people are laid out all over the place. And the anointing is so strong. But they're relying on you for your anointing. And they're abusing that gift that God has given you. What happens is sometimes then we begin to let the gift define us. See what I'm talking about now? You know the ones. I know you're an intercessor, so I'm going to call you at 2 in the morning so you can pray for me. No, you ain't calling me at 2 in the morning. Because I'm going to see who's calling, and I'm going to ignore. But when it's in the morning time, I'm calling you right back. Oh, there's going to be some serious intercession. You ain't me calling me in no wrong hours at night and telling me, pray for me. No, pray for yourself first. Yeah. Pray for yourself first. But you don't understand, I'm going to pray for yourself first. Well, I don't know what to pray. Well, then that's why you need to start making a relationship with God. Quit relying on everybody else. Some of these intercessors can't even intercede anymore because they're being used to intercede for a headache. Got a splinter, can't get it out, it's getting infected. Pray for me. Pray for me, I'm going to go for a job interview. Pray for me. Pray for me because I'm going to believe God for a brand new house and I have bad credit. Pray for me. So all these intercessors that should be praying for a service or praying for for leaders or praying for what God has laid on their heart now are getting kind of sidetracked and used for something else that it really? You pray for a splinter? You get the pin, the stick pin, and you just get it out. And if it hurts, good. Shouldn't have been playing with what you were playing with. Yeah. Start laughing now, huh? That's the response. Uh-huh. Who told you to be playing with the sticks with the bees like that, huh? And you got the splinter. You get it out. That's why I was a big baby. I was always crying out. My mom wouldn't give me that love. I felt rejected. And then she come with the alcohol. I get it. Or if y'all know anything about Camphophonique, you know that one? You know that one? You see that little green bottle? You start screaming because that thing burnt worse than the alcohol. You know what? I'll cut it off. Never mind. So bad. My God. You get flashbacks and sometimes you just can't get out of them. You ever been there? You've been there, Melissa. I know you have because you used to get in trouble by Walita all the time. So. You got to tell your mom, listen to the podcast today because Pastor Mario was talking about it in Walita. Remember the house we used to get in trouble because he used to always run out to the side. And I shouldn't have been running out to the side because that's when I fell down the steps right there by the back. Hey, I'm just trying to say some things that you got flashbacks and you go back to those memories. And sometimes you stay there, you get stuck there, and you're like, I remember those days. Those days were bad. They were cool. We used to have fun. And it was time to grow up now, but I have a hard time with it. But some things get abused because people see the good in you, and they want to use that all the time. And they rely on you as opposed to themselves. And so you get abused. On Wednesday, I began to talk about how when I learned about the prophetic and I was being used as a prophet of the house, prophesying everything. You're going to get a purple house. It's going to have green shutters with the pink over the top. You know what? It looks kind of like the Bahamas. You're moving to the Bahamas. Then it got to the point now. I see you laying hands on an Escalade. It's got spinners on it. The Lord says you're going to get an Escalade, you're going to have spinners on it, and they're going to know that's your car. You ain't got a job. It's okay. God's going to give you the job first, then you're going to get it. You see what I mean? People begin to pull on something and begin to use your gift that is not even God anymore. And you get wounded. The person being used gets wounded. And then what happens is you want to shut down, and the gift wants to be put away. God didn't tell you to start prophesying all kinds of houses and get a car, and it's going to be this big. You wanted a Hummer, right? So you're going to get a Hummer. God says you're going to get a Hummer. Just go lay hands on it over there. And you've laid hands about 15 different Hummers, and you ain't got not one. How are you going to pay for it? Ain't got no job. Don't want to work. And you don't want to work. God said, before you get anything, let's work on some principles first. Let's work on some principles. The Bible says that a man that doesn't work doesn't what? Oh, I had to get me a job quick because I had to eat. I'm trying to move along. Come on, man. Just stop it. Got to eat. Your priorities. Shoot, go get a job at a restaurant. Okay. I'm three. The frequent use will cause damage to a reed. Okay. Now, to understand what the reed is, you can say, I'm a reed. It's a measurement. It's used for measurement. Now, the reeds would grow by the water, which would signify that you're being raised and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Now, to go and pull a reed out of the water is difficult because it's rooted down. But if the reed was not in the water, it's easy to pull it because the roots are dry. You could pull it. Okay? But the reed that you pulled that was dry became very brittle. And it was used as a measuring stick. In other words, you know, we have yardsticks now, but back then what they would use to measure it. It was a measuring device. They would measure it, okay? We as kids, okay. I'm going to get in trouble now because now mom's here and she went here. So, okay. I used to go to Grandma Lily's. It used to be a pond. See, if I can come clean, y'all need to come clean too. And this pond was at a distance at the end of that dirt road, and we used to go there, and they used to be reeds. I didn't know what they were. I just, hey, look, we're not. And then I would go play with them, you know. And we didn't know how to play hockey. I'll stay over here because she gave me that look. No, we had to play. We played hockey. We didn't know what hockey was. We're Mexican. We didn't know. So we'd get the reeds, right, and we pull them out, and it's, they're long. And when we would, you know, hit stuff around and cars going by, we'd hit those two, and we would, but we would use them. Now, if you ever use something for too long, it gets worn, okay? And one of the things that's going to happen to you is you're going to get worn out by being used so much. But here's what happens with people always wanting to be used. And if you don't use them after for using them for so long, then they get mad. Hello? You know, when they're used to calling you all the time and then you kind of put your foot down and say, no, I'm not taking your call today because you just sometimes get on my last nerve. But, you know, you don't tell them because, you know, you're holy, so you just don't answer the call. And then they get mad because you're not answering the call no more. You're not praying with them no more. You understand what I mean? So sometimes the frequent use can hurt you. So those are the three things that can damage you. But here's the thing that I want to share with you is that Jesus understands all your afflictions. He understands all the wounded and bruised people. And he says that we, as those wounded and bruised people, should extend our kindness and compassion one to another despite our failures and deficits of character. See, the Savior, Jesus, he was trampled and bruised. He got turned on by his own people that he spent time with for 3.5 years. And see, when we read that in Scripture, we think, oh, he spent 3.5 years with his disciples. Oh, that's because they were always doing ministry together. No, he spent 3.5 years with his disciples. That means every day. And the stuff that is not written. You know what I mean? Like the stuff that you wouldn't want written down in your journal. You know, the stuff that you don't want in your diary. That you have in lock and key so that nobody reads. You know, the one that you have, that spiral that you write everything in, but then you hide it underneath the mattress so nobody finds it. Except mom when she goes and cleans the sheets and she finds it and reads it and then you're in trouble. Just saying that there's some things that happen in your life that you don't want recorded, right? Well, Jesus understands that about us. That we get wounded in our process and our growth and walking with him. And in that process, some of the things that come our way usually come from people closest to us. Does it not? Because if it came from a stranger, would it hurt you? You know, I don't like what you're wearing. If it's a stranger, okay, whatever. I don't like you. Yeah, I don't like you. I don't like you. It didn't matter. But let it come from someone that you love. As simple as this. You know those pants, they look like they're getting a little tight on you. What? Really? Why you got to say that now? I try covering up with jackets and stuff. Why you got to say it? It hurts you. It wounds you. Why? Because you value what they say. Right? You put value in what they say because you value them. So a lot of the wounding process that comes is going to come from people that you love. That you love. Now, I can have people close to me. That doesn't mean that I'm going to let them affect me in that way. Because the moment I start to hear something negative, I'm going to, I ain't got time for that. I'm going somewhere. I ain't got time for that. You may have time for that. I don't. How many of you know that in your life, that some people just have a tendency to get in your business and you're like, you don't want to deal with them because they're just, So you get to moving on. And that's part of what Jesus is trying to tell us here. He says, I know your afflictions. I know everything that you've gone through. Psalms 119, 67 through 76. Psalms 119, 67 through 76, out of the King James Version, reads this way. If you're taking notes, write it down. Psalms 119, verses 67 through 76. All right, I'm going to begin my approach to land, if you would. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts within my heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Huh? What? Am I reading that right? Verse 71, is y'all having something different on yours? Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Lord, I don't like the Bible no more. 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. O Lord, let, I pray thee, be merciful in kindness before my comfort, according to the word unto thy servant. Do you see? He understands the affliction that came from God. And he understands that it's only to teach you about how God is. If you think that you're going to live your life rosy-posy and nothing's going to come at you, you're living a lie. If you think that everything's going to be good just because you got saved, you're living a lie. The moment you say, I do, it's a green light for the devil to say, yes, I can. That means he's going to come at you. He's going to try everything. And the one hand that you've been holding the longest. Some of you are like, how long? Today, hey. Just know, he's going to use that individual to test you. The one that you've been giving your ear to the most, he's going to use that one to test you. The one that you've been following the most, whether you're watching on TV, giving your tithes to, it don't matter. He's going to use that one to test you. What is the testing proving? His statutes of who he is and his precepts of who he is. See, the devil thinks he's got you bound, but you can't bound what God has loosed. You cannot curse what God has blessed. You can't put nothing on anyone that God has not given you permission to. Here's the thing that we begin to do is we begin to think that we're gods and we can allow anybody into our life. And we can allow them to say anything. Then you walk around being a bruised reed and not knowing that in the bruising process is a humbling process, so that you're no longer prideful and think it's all about you. Because we're so anointed. And we've been groomed for such a time as this. No. You're going to go through it just like anybody else. And when you go through it, know that this process is to bring a blessing into your life. And that whatever you're going through and whatever you've come out of is only to make you stronger and better. But don't get bitter in the process because you don't understand what you're going through. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Y'all are amen. Yeah, amen, Pastor. Amen. Yeah, I got bitter. I did. I quit coming to church and didn't want to. I didn't pray for you no more, Pastor, because all you do is rebuke us and ask for money. I'm bitter. Walk around bruised, tattered, sometimes feeling stripped, that there's no more strength in you to even stand. being bruised hurts. The bruising process leaves an effect. When you get bruised, how many of you have had a boo-boo on your, and you got bruised? I mean, come on, be real, get real. So it's not just me always falling down. I'm going to get on my bike and I come back. My pants be torn right here. Melissa used to have those patches, those real thick patches she put on the thing. And I had like six patches right there because I was always falling. But it'd be bruised, black and blue. Then all swollen and everything. You can't walk here. Things that I caused. I shouldn't have been riding the bike around the apartment complex trying to beat the cars and then got hit by a car. Okay. So there's an effect in my life. My knee is all banged up and it's swollen, it's bruised, it's got the black and blue. Put ice on it, but it doesn't do anything for the bruise, it only does for the swelling. Right? So the ice makes the swelling go around, but you still got the bruise. And that bruise is nothing more than the blood that is coagulated. Got that one, too. Coagulated. And it's at the surface between the skin and the tissue. It becomes old. That's why it's dark. Old. An old wound still leaves an effect that others see. That you see. And it's not until the fresh blood. What you said now. Fresh blood. Fresh blood. Fresh blood. I ain't going to even say it. Fresh blood. That it dries out the old blood. And the effect is gone. Let me get wounded and let me show you something. I got wounded. I got a bruise. I got a bruise. Yeah, I got a bruise. I got bruised. I want to show everybody I'm wounded. I walk around with the victim mentality of my life and I never get set free because I want everybody paying attention to my wound. You know, there's a lot of folks like that in church. You know that, right? Not this one. Y'all are holy. Not this church. Those halos are. Well, they're tilted, but they're there. Almost falling, we gotta catch it, but when we walk around like, woe is me. Y'all don't understand. I would be wounded. I was wounded from my other church. That's why I left. They didn't respect me. They didn't use me. They didn't know that I could preach the paint off the walls. So I had to go where I would be recognized. So that people can use me and use my gift. Because my gift will make room for me. But your character won't tell you what room it's going to be. So we get mad. We leave one church because we're wounded. We have an offense. Guess what you do? The way you leave is how you enter. I left offended. I walk in offended. So what happened when you left and you entered a new place? Did any transition take place? No. All you've done is carried your offense and your wounds and your bruising so everybody can see into a new place where God supposedly sent you. And then you get there and then the Lord sent me here to be a blessing to you. And I want to help you build your vision. Okay. Okay. So here I am. Oh, can I ask you one question? Sure. Anything. I'm an open book. Why did you leave your other church? Why you got to ask that question? Are you insinuating that I left wrong? I just asked the question that you said you're an open book. I want to read the books. I want to know. So why are you getting so defensive about the offense that you left with? Well, he didn't understand or she didn't understand me, and they just didn't understand the gift that I carried. Well, take that gift with you and go back and make it right. Because you're blocking your own blessing. and you won't receive from me. And I ain't got time to deal with your offenses. You better get it right tight real quick, because you won't like me either. Then they say, well, that's why your church is empty. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't care about emptiness. I care about people applying what they learn. See? Oh, yeah. So three people understood that one. But listen. Yeah. But listen, watch this. See, I could be the type of pastor to go through and start counting every single chair that is empty. Could. Or how we use it just for our purses, because heaven forbid we put our purse on the ground, because that's not good, because then what's going to happen if you put your purse on the ground? Then it's going to take on a curse, and it's going to be dirty, and then you're not going to get blessed, because if your purse is on the floor, shut all that up. Let's take the chairs out and see what you're going to do then. Oh, see, that's it. Now I'm going to leave church for real. He's taking the church. He's going to just gonna take all the chairs out. I'm going to take all the Kleenexes out, too. But wait a minute. We get so mad for just anything. And we take it to the next church. And I'm like, you know what, God? I want to see fruit. He says, if you keep your eyes on fruit, you'll know you're doing something right. It's up to them to keep the eyes on their root. And when they recognize their root, it's up to them to come to me. I say, what you say, God? I don't have to do it. He goes, oh, no. Uh-uh. He says, they're to walk out their deliverance with fear and trembling. And that don't come from you, Marty. That comes from me. Oh, sucky, now I ain't got to worry about it. What you said, God? I can be loose and be me? Because I don't told you to be free. You've been trying to be like everybody else. No, I'm not me. He goes, yeah, you're worried about their roots and their fruits. That's on them, not on you. All you're to do is bring the good news. And the good news sometimes is a rebuke. It's okay. Hey, I love you. I've been bruised too, you know. Yeah, it's from some of y'all. It's okay. I'm still standing. And I still love you. That's my job. But it's not just my job. That's who I am. Like I said on Wednesday, y'all have seen many people that I've allowed back and loved back. And why? They're people. Love them. Don't matter. That's between them and God. I'm not a judge. My job is to love them. Now, you do things to me often enough, I'll love you. But at a distance. But that's not genuine love. You don't want the genuine one. We'd be at the cross all the time. A bruised reed prepares you for your blessing. Prepares you for your blessing. I'm going to read this one last scripture and we're done. Amen? Yes? Psych, I got more. Acts 7:34. God has heard our moaning and our groaning because of our affliction. It didn't say he heard your prayers. It didn't say he heard your fasting. It didn't say he heard your praise dance or your worship dance. It didn't say he heard all of the things you're doing in the church. How you're ministering to the lost out there. He didn't hear that. He heard your moaning and your groanings because of your afflictions. We serve a good God that knows what we're going through. Isn't that good? Oh, he knows what we're going through. He knows that you've been through some stuff. 2 Corinthians 4:17 in the Amplified reads this way. For our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. What you said? Some of y'all should have been shouting right there. What this scripture is saying right here, what you're going through is to bring his glory in your life. And when people don't want to listen to you or they misjudge you, it's for his glory to be manifest in your life. And it's for never ceasing, it's forever producing. You see, when you're going through, it's because you're about to get your blessing on the other side of your bruising. You understand? Now, some of y'all don't really get this because you think, well, God said everything is going to be hosy and posy and be great. And this and that. He never said it because he said, when trouble comes, oh, and it comes with fury. And when it comes with fury, it's up to you to pull what scriptures are going to work for you. And if you don't read your word and you don't get in his presence, you'll never understand what he has in store for you. You have got to know that he has the promises for you. And if you can grab hold of him and begin to draw from them, watch as he'll change some things in your life. But when you think that you can put God part-time and only use him when you want him, do not prostitute God. Saying, I need God now and I'm going to bring my offering to the Lord. He ain't no hooker. You think you can call on God just like that and say, I'm going to get my money. I'm going to bless you now because God needs to move on my life. That's not how it works. God is a real God that's going to bring you through some stuff. But some of the stuff that you created, he's so graceful enough to bring you through it anyhow. It's how you go through that process that lets the people know that you've been bruised or healed. And if it's something of the old, wait a minute. That scripture says that he's going to do something new, but before he does it, he reveals it to you. Oh, God's about to reveal something really good to you. That he's doing something new for you. And some of the new things that are coming your way, the ones that you thought they were supposed to be with you, you know, the ones, oh, you with me, we got this. Nah, that ain't the one. You put them there. God says, anything you put before me that I didn't put there, I'm about to remove. I'm about to get rid of it. You want to put some stuff in my way? Y'all think it's me talking, huh? Shoot, let's go back to the top. Y'all think it's me. Pastor just talking about something. No, I'm talking word. Wish I had a real church in here. Well, and if you can't say amen, say ouch. Can I get a witness? Ouch. Can I get a witness? Ouch. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. What is an idol? If y'all weren't here the other day, like allergies. Some of y'all on the podcast went, what's he doing? That's why I'm going to get me a good camera. I can video podcast everything, you know. Whatever you put before God is an idol. Yeah. You don't believe it? You don't believe it? Ask Abram. Ask him. Give me your son. Put him on the altar. What? Isaac? I can't use my other wife? No reference to anybody. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Abram could have argued with God and said, wait a minute. Couldn't I not just put, my wife's, wife? No. Okay. Can I not maybe used, can I not just put a goat? See, we try to reason with God when he's trying to get the very thing that you put more emphasis in, and we don't want to give it up, but we think that we can rationalize with God. I feel the anointing. Feel the anointing. I'm going to stay right here. Some of the things that you have erected before God are the very things that God is going to take away from you. And many think, well, God don't take things away. He giveth, he taketh away. And that's the scripture that everybody uses with Job. Oh, he giveth and he taketh away. God's nature is good. It's true. Good. True. He wants good things for you. But some of the things you put in your life are the very things he's going to take away from you. Because it's not good for you. And it's not godly. Hey, sugar. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Just thought I'd drop by and see what's up. You know, I've been thinking about you all day. I just thought I'd just drop by. Can I come on in? Just been drinking a little bit too much. Mind if I just spend the night here? I promise I'll behave. I won't do nothing. You don't want me to do. You see, and we're quick to open up doors to jokers like that. You see, and you can put that on any kind of thing in your life. Because some of you are so caught up with being alone that you think that I got to just take anybody that comes my way. And I start putting some people in my life that I think that this is the one, and that ain't the one. It's going to take you out of the will of God and think it's a permissive will of God, but it's not the will of God. You've got to understand what you put before God, he's going to remove. Whether it be your drugs, whether it be your money, whether it be your pornography, he's going to take everything away and only give you the good things in your life. You get yourself in a relationship that's going to take you away from God. Don't think you're the one that's going to change that individual. You're the one that's going to be corrupted by that individual and think that you're about to make change in their life. Now you're about to be changed. Thinking all of a sudden they look all Rico Suave when they're knocking at 3 o'clock in the morning. What you doing answering anyhow? You knew they were on the way. It wasn't you were caught by surprise. Your hair was already done before you answered the door. You put the nightgown on that you haven't worn. It's still in the box. You put it on, cut the tag out, put it on then. Acting like you didn't know. Check the phone. It was a text you sent 30 minutes ago. What you said? The devil didn't like me. See, some of y'all want to have a holy relationship. I'm going to preach till I'm done. Some of y'all want a holy relationship, but you're getting into people's relationships that are full of holes. That ain't holy. That's a mess they ain't completing themselves. But then when you want to get in this relationship and say, I'm there to help them. No, you ain't. You're there to get hurt by them. I'm just trying to tell you something. You better know that you know and you know her. And I said, you're nowhere. For some of you men, your nowhere is here, not below that. Tired of seeing people in church getting wounded because they're so led by the flesh and not of the spirit. And the spirit won't lie, but will lead you in all truth. He's not a liar. He will lead you to people that will say, I love God more before I love you. And then all of a sudden now you begin to see some things that you didn't see before. All that sooky, sooky and honey, honey mean nothing to me unless you get a J-O-B. Go to church, pay your tithe. Show yourself faithful to the things of God before you can say you're faithful to me. Why is that? Because we see so many people using the church as a place of hooking up. There's more divorces in church than it is in the world. Because we're getting married in church thinking because they're holy. Yeah, they're full of holes. That's why you're in church. You're trying to get filled back up. Be made whole. He's going to remove some idols. And some of those idols, whoa, whoa, woo, I almost went somewhere.
Some of those idols wear those stilettos. And when they stand up and worship the Lord, we got men all in service sinning before the Lord. I ain't seen no lines. I don't see no lines, so they might, well, you know what I'm talking about. See, what happens is we get so caught up in the superficial things. And God says, I'm trying to get a good thing to you. A good thing means you're going to wait till they prove themselves to God. And when they prove themselves to God, the root will have been tested, that you will see the real fruit manifested. That you will understand something about the one that you said yes to. Ooh. Oh, I'm trying to help someone. You said, Pastor, get off this relationship. I'm trying to get married. Well, why don't you marry Jesus first? And when you marry Jesus first, he'll begin to show you a new way how to be trusted. And then all the bruising that you went through, you put that bruising on him. Because he'll take your infirmities and he'll say, I'll make you a new creature. But if they can't respect you now, they're never going to respect you later. You think I'm just talking about your honey baby, I love you. I'm talking about the people you connect with spiritually as well. Because you think they're anointed and appointed. They're just as bruised and tattered and beat up just like you. But you think because they have an anointing to take you somewhere, all they're going to do is take you and drop you. And you wind up like Mephibosheth. And if you don't know who that is, read your Bible. Some of our caretakers... in haste and in fear will run and drop you and cause everlasting damage on you. You have got to know who you're submitting to. Know their nature, know their character, know the principles, and understand the fruit because it's connected to the root. Not anybody that just preaches the paint off the wall is called to be a shepherd. Not everyone that says, I'm a theologian, is to be the one teaching. Because there's holes in their theology that is based around what they want and how to manipulate what they want to get. And they get it from you, and then you get wounded and you're bruised. Not everybody that you're following is the one that you should be following. And if they don't want to heed to the word of God... then quit putting the pearls before the swine. Because God values his word. And if they don't want it, they're never going to take it. I don't know about you, but when I put my hand out and if you don't want it, I don't leave it there. I retract it and I give it to whoever is willing. Whoever is willing, take it because it's better for me to give than to receive. I'm going to tell you something. Just because they say, honey, sugar, I love you, I want you, and you want me, and we've got to be together forever. Don't mean that that forever is going to last till tomorrow morning either. Pastor, you talking about one night stands? Some of y'all's one night stands lasted a few years. You carried it on over and thinking, we in a relationship. You ain't in a relationship because there's no real covenant there. Go ahead and say, I do, and watch how things begin to change. Uh-huh. How about when you go ahead and start getting your account put together as one account instead of separate accounts and see how your money starts to get real funny then? Huh? You start finding money inside some booths, inside of boxes. You start hiding some things. Why? Because you don't want to be found out. This ain't even in my notes. This is free. It's free for you. It's free for you. And if they don't respect you now, they're never going to respect you. Mm-hmm. And if they look at you sideways, they're always going to see you sideways. They have a tendency not to want to see the real you. If they have to go and look at you, like, know this, they looking at others too. Because true affection does not come with the eyes. It comes from the eyes of the understanding that there's a spirit of God in them. And then you can have covenant with the covenant maker. They might walk out today, Michael. I don't know. They may just, they're going to say, forget the donut, I'm leaving. You know why he's called Lucifer, right? Lucifer out of here. Trying to tell you, not everybody is going where you're going. Not everybody. And they want to come in and start giving you all kind of philosophy. Based on no truth. Based on no truth is philosophy. Your philosophy makes you sound like a fool. Because philosophy is based on an unequivocal truth. But they have no truth. This truth right here, the Bible, they have tried to make it to be a lie, and all it's done is proved itself year after year, decade after decade, century after century. And everybody that says, oh, Jesus was just a man, there was the only one that was written that went into a tomb that they could not find anymore. And when they found the shroud, it was folded up. It was not ransacked. It was all in order, because God is a God of order. That's who we serve. I hope you hear the Spirit of God. Don't just settle. Because when you settle, it'll block your very blessing. Check. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 34 and 5 reads like this. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Amen. Give me that praise break. Give me that praise break. I want you to understand something. There's some real covenant that is about to be established in 2015. And if you can understand the wind that is blowing in your direction, grab hold of covenant. And the covenant doesn't fly in and fly out and leave a couple of dollars in your account. No, a real covenant comes in and begins to help you become better instead of being bitter. And if you've got bitterness as a result of you getting connected, that's a true sign you shouldn't be connected. Because God says you'll know them by their fruit. I hope you hear this. I can talk from experience. Mama, I'm going to get married. You're going to do what? Because I'm in love. I'm in love. You ain't in love. You don't even know what love is. It's going to cost a whole lot of money for that wedding and cause you all kinds of trouble. But go ahead. Do it yourself. See how it happens. But I'm here to tell you there's some things that are about to change. Don't get mad because things went a little south. You made choices on your own. Because you made choices on your own, you have consequences that you. Yeah, I know what time it is. Don't look at your watches. I know it's time for you to make it right. Yeah. And I know that what God wants to do is to make change with real covenant. Oh, he didn't say you got to be smiling all the time either.
Because I know when I go through, I ain't always smiling. And sometimes I don't even want to be next to people. Sometimes I don't want people getting next to me. Sometimes it's a season of isolation. Whew. But God wants you to know something. Don't just connect just because you want to connect. Don't hook up just because you want to hook up. Don't lay down just because you want to lay down. You've got to know something. You're creating more soul ties than ever before. Come in here, and then all of a sudden, you start looking at Jesus, and one eye goes this way. If they ain't with you now, they ain't ever going to get with you. You can't change a person's will. Don't think I'll pray them through. What you're going to know real quick is you're going to be praying, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. God said, no, I got to bless you, son. You're going somewhere you don't even know where you're going. See, the prodigal son thought he had rights. He had rights, all right. He had the right to go do what he wanted to do. He had the right to spend everything that he had. He had the right to go and lay down with every hooker he wanted to, because he did. Don't look at me crazy. It's in the Bible. And he had the very right to go and sleep with those pigs. He had that very right, because he chose it. But here's the right that Jesus made right. Jesus said, when you get up and come to your senses, you can get back to your father's house. And the Father will be waiting for you, looking for you at a distance, waiting, knowing that you're coming. You may have made the biggest mistake in your life, but God is still waiting in the house saying, come back to me. Come back to me. Your night season is coming to an end. And before you even come near to the house, I will make sure that they go and get that fatted calf, because I knew you were coming home. Go and butcher it and get it ready, because there's a celebration, because my son has returned back home. God is bringing us back into position and into a place of blessing on the other side of the bruising. Amen. Amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get praise break? Let's go with it.